Welcome. It is January 11 of 2024, and this is Ronnie and Rachel in a coaching call, continuing our conversation from the conversion facilitation process that Rachel has been supporting. And yeah, I actually don't have any information about what we'll be engaging with today. So, Rachel, yeah, maybe just first, a couple of sentences just to settle into the space, and then some context.
Okay. Yes. So, we had our convergent facilitation last Saturday, and we worked on one question. We had a proposal. We got a proposal that everybody was on board with. The chief
That's exciting.
instructor. Yes. And the chief instructor, decided not to show. And hi, Pam. We're just getting started. And I had clarity on what he was willing to do, and I let everybody know that. And it wasn't, there was some emotion, there were some painful emotions around that for people, and there seemed to be acceptance. So yes, so we had convergence, we had a propose like multi-part proposal that everyone gave their consent on. I read over it several times. Okay, are we all good? Yes, we're all good. And we did a checkout, and some of the checkouts were like looking at the whiteboard saying, "Wow, I feel really good about what we did here." Okay, great. So then I go home, and within 2 hours I have an email from one of the members. So there were five people there. There's sort of two that are aligned over here with the chief instructor, and then three that are not. And so one of the three emailed me, and then it was followed by the two other people saying, "We can't stand by this. We withdraw our consent. The fact that chief instructor wasn't there is it's not fair, and it's not okay, and it's dysfunctional," and yeah.
Okay, so that's a lot. And how are you with all of that?
I'm confused. I'm disappointed. I'm sad. I even had a lot of self-doubt come up, like, "Oh, why didn't I foresee this? I wish I could have seen that." Why didn't I have the foresight? What could I have done differently? And I think now where I so they've spent their they gave me a budget. It's all been used. I feel very interested in doing something that offering them something that's useful. That is simple, and I don't know. I guess I don't really. I don't know, Ronnie. I don't know.
Yeah, I can think of a lot of different pieces of this that we might engage with. So I want to check with you first if you have a sense that you are is there anything in you that's turning to self-judgments or blame or any other forms of separation or any stories that are coming up for you? Because if there are, I would want to engage with that first. Because if we don't engage with that first, then everything else we do, that is going to come up and get in the way. Does that
Yes.
make sense?
Yes, it totally makes sense. I did have a lot of self-judgment. It has softened some. Now I'm more in curiosity, like less of like, "I should have seen this coming," and more of like, "Huh, I wonder if there was something I could have done differently. I wonder if I could have seen this coming." So that's one thing. I do have a judgment about these three that they are withdrawing their support and consent to take back power. Like they have so little, they experience themselves as so powerless. So I do have, I've been trying to think about what would their needs be in their eyes? Because I'm sort of reading it through this lens of like, yeah, they're just trying to take power back. They actually had this great solution that they still needed to run it by the chief instructor, which I think just after the facts sat with them as unfair. Like, we did all this work. We showed up. We, showed up in good faith and goodwill, and we came up with this great plan, and now we have to run it by him. Like, how does he get to have the final say? I think that's where they're coming from. So yeah, there's this judgment of like do the work you need to do to deal with your pain so that you can have some power in this situation.
Yeah, so I think that it's up to you what you want to focus on today. And in terms of sequence, usually myself, what I try to do is focus on those things first if I have the time. If I'm about to have a meeting in 5 minutes with these people, then I'm like, okay, I'm holding judgments and I'm going to check with myself very carefully how they're influencing me. And if I have the time, I want to do that transformation first. It's very difficult as a facilitator to come into a space where you have judgments and for them to not leak through. No matter what I do with my language, there's going to be some tension within my body of like, oh my God, what did I do? Or why are these people doing this to me? Or whatever's going on for me. So there are things I can do, like to acknowledge that with the group, like, hey, I have some tension about what happened. I haven't had a chance to fully process it yet. So if you're sensing something, that's what's there, and I'm checking very carefully, that it's not influencing my facilitation choices. So I can be transparent about that. And if I can take some time to release or transform some of those stories, that's really helpful. So that's the first thing I do. And this happens a lot. So I don't know, I don't have a survey of what happens for other facilitators or for myself. It's very common for me to move to separation when either from the like, oh my God, what did I do? Or why are these people doing whatever it is that they're doing when things don't go well? And so I'm mindful of that, and I already have my tools of how to recover quickly. And it's actually really like one of the things I have stories from my experience as facilitator that really helped me. Because I can just go, okay, let's think of another moment when this happened. And I have my favorite story for judging myself, which is I was working with this work group. They were really struggling. We had met several times. They really I could not find a way to find common ground between them yet. And I came in one day, I wanted to start the meeting. They were completely ignoring me and just arguing with each other. And I said very firmly, if you're not willing to listen to me and try to follow what I'm offering, I do not know what is the point of me being here. So you have a choice. You can pay attention to me or I can leave. But I'm tired of sitting here. And for me, like, this is the closest I get to yelling when facilitating, right? So in my mind, this was like really harsh as compared to how I'm usually holding space. And for them, it was actually turns out not that harsh. But afterwards, I was like feeling really bad. Like, okay, I'm coming in here to help these people, and then I'm yelling at them. How is this helping anything? And then eventually, we sorted things out, and we were doing our reflection or harvesting at the end of the process. And I asked them what was the thing that they most appreciated, and they said that was the moment that they most appreciated. Was the moment where I'm like, hey, listen, if you keep doing what you have been doing, you're going to get exactly what you have been getting, and you are wasting my time. Like, you brought me here to create change, and if you don't want to listen to me and try to do something different, let's just all go home. So it's really helpful just like to remind myself of all of these moments where I thought I made a mistake or did something I would have liked to do differently, or I didn't like my choices, and it actually turned out to be really useful. We just never know in the moment how things will work out. And the other thing I remind myself of is mistakes that were not useful, and yet nobody died. I held this process, I made this choice, it was a really bad choice. We did not get to a proposal that actually worked for everyone, and guess what? 3 months later, we're like, hey, this didn't work. Let's try it again. And then we did. And then we found something. And that was the end of it. So that's something that really helps me. I'm curious if that's useful to you or anything you want to say or ask about that.
Yeah, it is useful to me. There was something about actually the content of what you said about doing what you've always done. It's not gonna like you're not getting anywhere. And I had a little bit of like, yeah, that's a little bit of what's going it's that could be a little bit of what's going on here of like chief instructor didn't show up. Rah! You know, rather than like, let's look at what power we have here and mourn what we don't. And yeah,
Yeah,
but
I want to
also
clarify
the
something in that. For me, there's a big difference between saying you need to do something different, which is putting all the responsibility on them, and what I usually say and what I said in that case is that I want you to be open to me inviting you into something different, and if you're not open to that, there's nothing for me to do here.
Yeah.
If you're not interested in what I have to say or in trying the things that I'm bringing, that's totally okay. There's nothing wrong
Yeah.
with that. And I will leave. That's a really important difference to me. It's not that I'm asking people to do something different than they have been doing. That is a big request. It's that I'm asking them to be open to follow me into something different. They don't need to know how to do it differently. They don't need to do it on their own. They just need to be willing to be open to my suggestions.
Yeah.
And if they say no to every single thing that I offer, then things will stay as they are, and perhaps I'm just not a good fit for them as a facilitator, and they need to work with someone else. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that piece is important to me.
Yeah, I like that. That
Yeah,
makes sense.
the other piece you're touching on, which is like, why can't you people just do something different? That is when we move to judging other people, which I also do. And I actually want to share something. I recently took an NVC workshop with Yoram, and he said something that really stayed with me as a catchphrase. He said, "If you're annoying me, that means I don't understand you," and I want to add to that. Yet. And I really like that as a little mantra. It's very easy to remember. Like, oh, I feel annoyed. It's because I don't understand you. So when we get that energy of, can you just look at things differently? Well, no, they can't because they're not. And we're just not understanding them enough. So I really want to see if I'm willing to put the energy into trying to imagine what it's like to be in their shoes. And I would know that I'm really understanding it when I am able to see why I cannot do anything different than what I'm doing in their shoes.
Yeah,
When
I
I
would
can
love
see through
to.
their eyes, like, there is nothing differently I could do believing what I believe as this person. Then I know I can meet them where they are and then see if I can invite them to go somewhere else.
I would love to spend some time trying to understand their position. And then I would love to hear what you think I could invite them into being open to doing that would be different.
Very happy to engage with this, and I want to mention that this is not one of my strengths. So I know a lot about this because it's not one of my strengths. I struggle with this a lot. So yeah, it is very, very difficult for me to do perspective taking into the perspective of people who have a lot of internalized disempowerment. Because not a lot of that lives in me. Some. And I need to find those little bits where I have internalized disempowerment. But not I don't have a lot of it, so it takes effort.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, let's start with you. What do you imagine? Pick a person, it's easier than a whole group. So pick a person, a good representative, and imagine yourself saying whatever it is they're saying. I think I heard did they actually say that? Do you know what they actually said? That will help us, like an example of what they actually said.
Yeah, I mean, I could pull up the email if that would
Oh, that would be amazing.
Something very Exact.
Yeah, especially when we are moved to judgments, it's so easy for us to remember what people said a little differently, and we are
Yes.
already putting our story into it. So it's amazing how much you can say, this person told me to shut up, and then you're like, well, what did they actually say? They said, could you wait? So the gap
Right.
gets wider really quickly.
Okay, here is one. I agree that since chief instructor did not show up for the meeting, he should have no say in the decisions made. That's one. I know the goal was to try to find ways forward we can all agree to, but we didn't address the core issues that five of us showed up to lead through conflict, and the avoidant one still avoided and somehow still gets to have a final say. So I think that's quite a bit of the meat of it.
I have a quick question for clarity. This phrase of final say, did that come from you or from them? Where did this frame come from?
So they need the chief instructor. Yeah, final say is not
But did
something
that
that
come from
I.
them?
Yeah.
That's a good
Yeah.
clue. Do you remember what you called it?
I don't know what I called it, but what I said was that chief instructor was willing to read the proposal, willing to weigh in, willing to add comments on what did or didn't work, and if and when there is group consensus that he was willing to uphold a proposal.
Yeah, so that's, do you know it, if that, did you say it once or twice, or did you repeat this?
Yeah, I said it in an email and I said it in person.
Okay. This is a frame, like I call them slippery. There are some
Yeah.
frames that are really slippery because it's really easy if you stop repeating them for them to slip back into separation. So it's very easy for a group of people in the room that they're then going to share something with someone else to slip into this very common frame that they are getting approval from that person. And so I want to like hammer my frame in over and over again. Remember, all six of us are making a decision together, and one of us at the moment is not able to be with us in the room. So they're going to look at it separately, but we are all holding the same role. We are all deciders. And I want to repeat that. Like when we start in the middle and right when we leave, remember they're going to look at it now, but they're not approving or reviewing or checking that we did it correctly. They're doing the same thing that they would have done if they were in the room. And so
Yeah.
I'm making it, I'm trying to get that frame to stick because I know that frame is slippery, that it's likely to revert back into people's domination thinking.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's, I'm so glad you caught that. That is really helpful for me to see. And a tricky part of this is that, they are wanting these three, the chief instructor, to do things slightly differently. And so the chief instructor does, he is a, because he has so much power as the one who, this is an Aikido dojo, he does the testing.
He has more power, and in an environment where everyone is able to object, there is no such thing as having an extra objection. You see how it's easy to slip back into that way of thinking, well, they have more power. What does that mean? If all of us can say no, of course, them having more power, if they were in the room, they can influence what people say, they can influence perspective, yes. But in terms of objections, what does it mean to have more power? If every single one of us can object, what does my more power give me? Am I going to object more? What does that even mean?
Yeah, that's very interesting. It's, yeah, like my brain needs to sit with that for a minute because in a logistical, like in a mathematical way, yes, one objection per person, it makes sense. And maybe it's that they are so reliant on him to do things differently so that they can relax in this environment.
I just want to catch something in what you said. One objection, it's unlimited objections per person. And that is why having more power doesn't affect that piece. It affects many other pieces. But there's unlimited objections per person. Hence, I cannot have more than you. It's not possible. I cannot in an environment where everyone can object as much as and until things are within willingness, I cannot have more than you. The power still affects other pieces that we need to address. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then their power does affect what is possible to implement, which is a different issue. So I just want to wrap up this piece around the frame to check that it's clear. I want a moment. There's something tickling me. Yeah, I want to give another example just for clarity. So you see the same thing with raise hand questions. So we do a lot of that in conversion facilitation and nonviolent facilitation and some of the other practices that I do. We ask people to raise their hand, and it's deeply associated in our culture with majority rules voting. So I'm always reframing every time I ask. We're going to raise how many people have a concern about this? We're going to raise our hand. Remember, we are not voting. I'm collecting information, and then I will choose what to do with it. And every time I'm working with a frame that's slippery, I want to repeat over and over. It seems redundant to you, or maybe it doesn't, I don't know. But sometimes it feels like, oh my God, I've said this 6 times. But you'll notice that as soon as you stop doing that, people go right back to, I mean, they've had the other frame for 20, 30, 50 years. What is 5 times hearing it in the meaning? Nothing.
Yeah, I think I just want to say what I'm thinking because this my brain is getting stretched in the moment. I think what got missed by myself even is that chief instructor is not. This proposal is not being given to him to say yes or no, to veto or approve. He's wrestling with it. He's looking at it. There's different points. Does this work? Does that not work? How might I shift this? It's not a he's the king and he says, throw it all out or accept it all.
Yeah, with slippery frames, I try to get really simple language. So just like the we're not voting, I would get a catchphrase for this, like he's participating from outside the room. So we're all participants. Remember, he's participating outside the room. So he didn't get to share his consent here. He's going to do it separately. But it's not any more consent than anyone else, right? So I'll have that catchphrase. And then we're going to send it to the chief instructor who's participating outside the room. That's my language. Pick your language, what fits that culture, what would resonate with those people. But then they'll be less likely, and I say less likely because they still might, it's a cultural conditioning, go right back to why do we need their approval? But then you have done the groundwork, and it's much easier to say, remember, they're participating outside the room, they're not approving. So I have something to fall back on. I've already laid the groundwork to make that frame switch over and over again.
Thank you.
Friends, I have to go, but I'm really grateful that I got to hear this much. And I'm really glad you're recording it too. I take it you'll put it on the high-low. Yay,
Yeah.
thank you.
Thank you,
Good to
Pam.
see you, Loni. See you
Bye,
soon, Rachel.
Pam. Okay.
Okay, so I got really excited about the framing bit, and I still want to come back to the question of perspective taking. Is this complete for you? Or is there more on the framing part?
This is great.
Yeah, this is something that I try to do often, is to think when I'm coming to a process, what stories are probably in the space that are going to get in the way, and then come in with different stories and just keep chanting them into the space as wherever they fit well. Not dramatic announcement, like nobody wants a lecture, But as you're speaking, like as you're, oh, let's go ahead and take a look and see if this proposal works for everyone. And remember, everyone includes the chief instructor who will be looking at it later.
Yeah, that's what I didn't anticipate. The all of the conditioning and the frames that are in place that were very loud in people's
Yeah,
minds.
and it's so easy to see after the fact, right? So
Yeah.
who knows? There's so many stories that could need reframing, and we pick the ones that we think are most relevant, and then we find out, oh no, there was this other story.
Right.
That is where we needed to do work. Yeah, there's one more bit that comes to me to highlight. There is something about the way you were describing the situation. My intuition tells me that there was some barrier to people fully expressing themselves during the space. And if I needed to guess, and I really don't have that much context, so I could be completely wrong. If I needed to guess, my guess would be that there was a lot of focus on the consideration and proposal, and not as much on the question of whether this piece of work, like this particular decision, if people were okay with doing that and not addressing the other conditions. I have a sense that there's like people might be okay with the proposal, but there's something about saying they're okay to the proposal that might live in them as now I'm also saying I'm okay to all these other things that are bothering me. And that might be the thing where they didn't have the space to speak up.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And that's accurate for sure. Yes.
Yeah, it reminds me of another project that I'm supporting right now, that I did that a couple of times, so I'm not sure if it's sufficient. But people came in and they said, you know, we have these concerns, we want to make this decision. I'm like, I want you to check very carefully that you want to make this decision while all of these concerns remain unaddressed. Is that okay with you? There's nothing inherently right or wrong about that. If you're
Yes.
okay with that, let's make this decision because it's really important, and I accept that the rest of the stuff is just going to hang out there. Or actually, I want some commitment for these other things to be attended to. Otherwise, I'll be okay with what we decided, but I will not be okay with that taking priority over the other things that matter to me, that we decided to do this and none of the other things.
Yeah. Yes, I think that is very accurate and is a big piece of the disappointment is like, okay, yeah, great, we got this one decision, but there's, you know, that's the tip of the iceberg. And then the budget ran out. So what are we going to do?
Yeah, and that's a question for you. Did you have that conversation with them about are they okay with this within the context and just doing this?
No, I think that was a misunderstanding actually, because the
Okay.
three people thought we were going to address many more things. And I
Okay, so
didn't know that.
that's a learning. That's a learning. And
Yeah.
I was asking because it's actually not uncommon to have the conversation and then for people to be upset anyway. So having the conversation just increases the likelihood it will not happen, but it doesn't actually, like, nothing protects us.
Yeah.
Life unfolds as it does, and it's actually, it happens a lot for me, the way I say to people, we're going to do this, and we even write it down. But then people have hopes in their minds, right? And whatever sentence we wrote down has way less power than their dreams and hopes and fears that they're living with every day in their head and their hearts. And
Yeah.
then they come back going like, oh, we are going to solve all of our problems here, right? Like, no. So
Right.
that's also very common. So it's a learning. If you didn't ask, that's a good learning to ask next
Yeah.
time. And also
Yes.
be aware that even if you ask and write it down, that's another thing that is slippery. It's quite common for people to go back to their preferred dream than what
Yeah.
we actually agreed to do. So I try to repeat that every meeting as well. I usually open my meetings with some kind of a roadmap. We agreed to do this. We have done step two and three. Now we're doing step four. Then we'll do step five. And then this project will end. It helps people, like, oh, right. We are not
Yeah.
going to solve all of my problems. Got
Yeah.
it.
Yeah, I'm recognizing that a weakness of mine is seeing the whole picture. Is, you know, people say, hey, Rachel, we have this conflict. Can you help us with it? I say, yes. And I am not good yet at stepping back, seeing a big picture, and then telling them, this is what I see.
And it's a question of whether that's something you, like when you say you're not good at it, it implies it's necessary. Everybody has their style. So some people just show up, support with what's there, and then they're like, oh, we've discovered more stuff is needed. What do you want to do now? That's also a way. It's not my way. Everybody has their way. I'm a very big picture person. I want to know what all the pieces are. I'm like, okay, we're going to do this, and then we might do that. Great. That's not for everyone. Some people just show up and see what happens.
Yeah, I would like to be more of a big picture person, because I think twice now people have left the process disappointed.
That is good feedback.
Yeah.
Do you want to stay with this, or would you like to go back to the perspective taking bit?
I'd like to go to the perspective taking.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Let's take a breath. All right. So talk to me like you're one of these people.
Yeah.
So try to get into what is their world like? Why are they not happy? And why are they not doing anything about it? Or why, through their eyes, more likely they're doing everything they can already?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we've been trying for years to communicate with Chief Instructor. We've made requests. We've sent emails. He doesn't respond to our emails anymore. He won't talk to us about our concerns and requests. And so that's why we hired you. And I'm so angry that the five of us who have enough conflict between us, we showed up, we did the work, and he still is avoidant. And somehow we are all compensating for that. It's like we're enabling this behavior. Mm-hmm.
And what is it that you, as Rachel, would have wanted them to do differently?
Would have wanted who to do differently?
So you're saying, why aren't they doing something different? Why don't they take more action? What would you want them to do?
Well, that's, I don't, what I want them to do is celebrate that the five of them have created a proposal that everybody likes, and to recognize that, yes, there are limitations here. There are limitations, and it is upsetting that the chief instructor has not chosen to be present yet.
Is that the only thing they're celebrating? Because I think I remember you saying something about you wanting them to take more power.
Right. So what I see is that, the huge limitation here is that the chief instructor won't engage with them, and it won't engage directly with them. However, they do have power in, hey, we created this proposal. Five of us love it. You know, like, chief instructor, take a look. This proposal meets their needs. So why trash it? You know, if it feels like this sort of this way of taking back power that doesn't.
Okay, isn't great. Really Thank powerful. You. I'm clear. So feel back into this being one of these people. And then I want you to say it with emotion, because it will really feel, you could feel in your body. Like, what would this person say? A little bit of Jackal Fest, or like, really get into the, what is it like?
Yeah. What?
We're taking this proposal back because.
Yeah. If chief instructor can't even show up, can't even be in the room with us to talk about his dojo, like the place that he is the chief instructor, he's the leader. He can't even be in the room with us to discuss how to make this work. Why should I collaborate? Why should I do all this work? Why should I come to him with these ideas?
Mm-hmm. Now give me the bigger beliefs. Not about this specific second, but What do I not want? Like, I don't want to work in a place where somebody I'm dependent on doesn't respond to me.
Yeah. I think that's huge.
Yeah.
I don't want to show up in a place where I am not, my humanity is not seen, and there's so little care.
And I don't want to put all this effort into making a proposal and have someone who's not even in the room shoot it down.
Yeah.
Why would I put all of my energy and effort into something that someone else can just decide they're not okay with and they didn't even bother showing up?
Yeah. That, and aren't we all just enabling him to stay in his protected corner when we do all this work for him?
Yeah. And I would hazard a guess. We don't know if we're right about any of these guesses. But I would guess that there's also some bit of this that's about how would I phrase that? I'm doing all the right things. And if I'm doing all the right things, then things should go my way.
Yeah.
And that means that person over there needs to change what they're doing. There aren't any other options. I'm already doing the right stuff. What is there for me to do differently? And if they just also behaved like people should behave, everything would be all right.
Yeah. And this is just going to continue that I'm going to show up, I'm going to do the right things, I'm going to collaborate. I'm going to show up on my weekend to do this 2.5 hour convergent facilitation, and he just gets to pretend that there's no problem when he is the problem.
Great. So we have a sense of this person, and now we want to take all of that and move it into MVC, giraffe, I language, whatever you want to call it. Connecting with feelings, with needs. What is the longing in this person?
Yeah. I think the longing is care. I think it's for care.
Now, I want to invite full sentences. I'm a big fan of full sentence natural language needs. Instead of harmony or whatever, I want to
I
have a
want
sense
to
that we're a
know
team
that,
at work.
I want to know that my voice matters at this dojo.
Yeah, I want to have a sense that everyone is doing their part. I want to know that I'm not alone. I want to be able to trust that when I do work, it will not get overridden by anyone else.
Yeah. And I want a demonstration of care from this person who I look to as leader.
That we're starting to move more into strategy. So I would want to just be mindful of that line. Because a demonstration of care is getting a little too specific for me. I want to know that I matter here. I want to know that my work is valued. I want to know I want you to feel relaxed and I want to experience a lot of curiosity and consideration. Those are all closer to the needs end of the spectrum. And we start getting into I want to receive things from people. I want to get respect. I want to get an acknowledgement. I want whatever. We're starting to cross into strategies.
Yeah, and I have some
It's not an
concern.
exact science.
I know. Yeah, I hear you. I have some concern that being too far to the needs, that these folks will not feel caught. That
Yeah.
it's too abstract. It's like it is so related to this one person, the chief instructor, that I feel nervous about if I take him out of it and talk about everybody and all of us here, they're going to be like, hello, Rachel, you are not listening to us.
So if you have a sense that you want to leave him in, I would leave him in with while focusing on my experience.
Okay.
So I can say, instead of saying, I'm talking about you, for example, instead of saying, I want Rachel to apologize to me, I can say, I want to have a sense that Rachel understands me.
Yeah.
Now you see, we know it's about Rachel, but it's about the experience I'm going to have.
Yeah.
I want to have a sense that Rachel cares about my needs or whatever, but I'm anchoring it in my own experience. That's going to give me more flexibility for how to make that happen. Because for me to have a sense that you care for my needs has many, many things that could happen, and some of them don't even require you. Yeah, and that's a little dance we do, because ideally I don't want them to be attached to the person as a strategy, and I agree with you sometimes. To meet people where they are, that's a stepping stone.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like that. I want to have a sense that the chief instructor cares about my needs, or that the leadership team, or that my needs are cared for at this dojo.
If you can get the person out of it, that's great. And if you can't, that's okay. I'm just trying to get the strategies out of it.
Yeah.
I want to pause for a moment and see where we are. Yeah, how is this for you?
Great.
Do you still have a sense of some of that, like wanting them to do something different than you, or is that softening?
I would love to see them. I would love to see them mourn what is not currently possible and step toward the power that they have. I can accept if they don't. I would love to offer them what that possibility could look like.
And I think for me, I don't know if you've talked to them about this, there's something really powerful about offering people possibilities that seem like a loss or a compromise or giving up with an empowering frame. So in this example, I can say, let me try to connect to it. I can see how frustrating and challenging it's been that you're really, really wanting the chief instructor to engage with things differently, and that is not what they have been doing. And I want you to imagine for a moment that that piece is not going to change. So it has been happening so far. Maybe at some point in the future, we'll find openings there. That's great. Imagine for a moment that that's not changing. And then I want to invite you to think about what would be supportive for you if that could never change. Would it be supportive for you to leave? Would it be supportive for you to arrange things in a different way where you are not dependent on the chief instructor? Would it be supportive for you to just throw as many creative options out there as you can, but then instead of leaving becoming like you're quitting or giving up, it's becoming an acknowledgement that these are the conditions here. If you really don't like these conditions and you cannot imagine anything you could do that would make you happy working here, why are you here? It's an invitation for people to think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is what's possible. It's like if it's raining outside, we can all think about all the wonderful things that we could be doing if it wasn't raining. Or we can say, given that it's raining, is there something fun we can do indoors? Or is there something fun we can do outdoors with an umbrella or with whatever it is that we want to sort out? For as long as we are not taking in the reality as it is, we are not able to explore other options. We are limiting ourselves.
Yeah.
So I think that is the move that you want to invite them to make. Did I get that?
That is the move. That is the move. And it's like I can almost sense them coming back with some frame around, but it's not fair and this is not leadership and blah, blah, blah. And the national whatever Aikido thinks that this is awful. Yeah. And
so this is where there's a question of what did they hire you to do?
Yeah.
Oh, and what did you intend to do when they hired you? If they hired you to make a decision, then this is a really big ask of them. If they hired you to help them see the world differently, which people invite me to do that for them all the time, then this request fits in. I want you to be mindful that if people have in mind that you're coming in to just help them sort out the decision that works for everyone, this may not be within the scope of what they agreed to do with you.
Yeah.
It's a lot to ask people to shift to accept the things in reality that are not within your influence, and to see that as an empowering move is a huge transformation. It's a huge inner transformation. I don't know that they signed up for that.
Yeah.
So that's something to check with yourself and to check with them.
Yeah. So Roni, I'm curious. Yeah, no, I don't think they signed up for that either, just to answer that question.
Yeah, if they didn't sign up for that, then it's kind of funny, but it's the same learning for you. Given that they didn't sign up for that and they don't see the world in that way, what do you want to make of the situation? If you're not going to try to invite them into this different way of thinking, what can you actually offer them that's useful to them?
Yeah.
And are you willing to do that? Are you willing to work within whatever frames they're holding?
I think so. But I don't know if they have some idea that hiring me was going to result in the outcome of getting the chief instructor to change, then yeah, we're not on the same page, and that's beyond my capacity.
Always good to think it's beyond everyone's capacity. I think that's always good to clarify. And in the beginning, and given that we're here, I want to offer you the other thing you can do. So if they did not sign up for rearranging their whole way of viewing the world, you do that for them. That is what I do as facilitator and as mediator. I make those shifts for them. So instead of them needing to think about that, I make invitations for them. So I think to myself, if I were in their shoes with my worldview, what would I come up with that is likely work for me? Then I come back to them with that. Hey, would it work for you if we arrange things in this way? What would need to go where for you to be? And I'm not including the chief instructor changing in any way in the things I'm inviting them into. So I don't make it visible. They don't need to be aware that I have shifted the frame and that there is no change required of anyone, actually, that they're not willing to make.
I don't think I'm following.
Mm-hmm. So the differences between, let's say we are trying to think of a simple example. Let's say we are trying to divide a cake. We have 6 pieces of cake, 10 people. As we know in our culture, most people are going to move to fairness and equality. And how do we cut these up in a way that everybody gets an exact same piece, right? Okay, so if people have signed up for, as we have on this call, for me to invite them into different frames, then I would go there. I would say, hey, Rachel, remember, instead of thinking of fairness, we could think of what are people's needs? Who needs more cake? Who needs less cake? What are people willing to do? Do we have other things we can hand out instead of cake? I don't know. So I can invite you to hold a new frame with me. And if I'm not in that kind of space, if I'm just with people who didn't sign up to do any kind of nonviolence or liberation, I will just give them solutions and invitations that come from that frame. Hey, Rachel, I realized it would be super simple if we just cut everything to be exactly right. And I also imagine not everybody even likes this cake. So I'm curious, would it work for you if we just check real quick if there's anyone who maybe doesn't even want any? And then there might be, you know, already a way to divide things that works easier. And you see, all I'm doing is checking with you. Are you okay with what I'm proposing?
all the framing comes in how I speak, but I'm not asking you to hold all of it. You can to hold any of it. You could still be thinking in terms of what's fair and what isn't. That's okay. Rich, I'm wondering if it seems fair to you. I can even use that language. I wonder if it seems fair to you if people who don't actually want to have any cake don't get any. And you're like, of course. Well, it's okay for people who don't want any to not have any. I'm wondering if it might also be okay for people who want more to have more, as long as everybody's getting as much as they want. And you see, I'm like slowly working my way towards a solution that attends to all the needs without ever questioning your worldview.
Yeah. Yeah. So in this frame, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to catch one more piece and I want to hear from you. I just want to give another example. This is not the only way to do it. So another way to do it is what I call the classic NVC way, feelings and needs. Hey, Rachel, I see you're concerned about how we're distributing the cake, right? You said it isn't fair. I am wondering if it's really important to you that everyone get as much cake as they need or as much cake as they want. And I'm now checking with you about your needs. Are you feeling concerned because you think some people may not get as much cake as they want? So that's another way. That's what NVC does for us. It's a very simple formula to invite people into a different way of thinking without them needing to change anything. They need to have no idea what NVC is or what needs and feelings are. I am doing the work of translating and checking with you if I got you. So there's more than one way you can do this. I just wanted to highlight that. I tend to move to the first way because I do almost all of my work in decision-making spaces where going all the way to like universal human needs is often not useful and not necessary. So I do a lot of my work on that reframing layer.
Yeah.
Of just enough towards needs that we can all stay together.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's two things. There's sort of like two possible paths that are coming up for me. And one is, and maybe they're not even different. But I want to offer them, working through a response, and I want to give a response that has some empathy, some acknowledgement of, you know, their perspective, which I think you and I did a good job of. And then some possible paths. And so for them, because I think I'm done here, unless they want to allocate some more money towards me, I'm not sure. So one of those paths is inviting them into seeing their power. And I do want to name, as you said, that it's possible this will never change. And so one path, which is sort of like helping them shift their view a little bit, is naming that, letting the chief instructor weigh in on this, just as everybody weighed in on this, is a powerful move, is a way to get some of their needs met. And then another path doesn't involve asking them to, well, maybe it does. I guess it's more of explaining, as you did, that this is not a veto. This is not a vote. This is a weighing in.
That phrase weighing in still concerns me.
Okay.
Because it has, for me, it separates the chief instructor from it. Why are they weighing in? They're a member of the group.
Yeah.
They're participating. Weighing in makes them separate in some way, in my ear.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
All six of you are making this decision together. Just because one of you chose to not be in the room, they're not weighing in, they're not approving, they're participating at a different time. That is it. They're doing exactly what everyone else was doing. They're checking that the proposal works for them.
Yeah.
So if we agreed that we're only going to go forward with this proposal, if it works for everyone includes the chief instructor. You see, when I frame it this way, do you feel the difference?
Yeah.
When I say they need to weigh in, it's as if they're not a part of the group.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I get that.
So we have a group of six people. We're making a decision together. It needs to work for everyone. Five people already said it works for them. The sixth person still needs to check, and then we're done.
Yeah. Okay. So one of the three that wanted to withdraw his support for this, his idea was to bring this proposal at bring it to the next board meeting, which the chief instructor is always at. And rather than me being the back and forth as I had told them would be the process. What do you think of that?
Who's at the board meeting? Is it the six of them and who else?
Yeah, well, it's it'll be five out of the six.
Are there more people there?
No.
With what you described from the email, five of them. And the sixth person together, the likelihood that they're all going to happily get along isn't that great. And that is the situation, right? If you're no longer supporting them, if you were still supporting them, I would definitely advocate for you to be in that room. And if you're not there, you're not there. And for me, the greatest gift you can give them is if you can adjust this frame to be you're all participating. One of you is participating through a different medium. That's it.
Yeah.
It's not that unusual. I mean, what if he was out of the country for 3 months? So you all got together and you made something, and then when they came back, they're going to look at it to see if it also works for them.
Right. That's true in a logistical way, but not in an emotional way. He could have been
Yeah, I
there.
think there's a
Yeah.
challenge. There's two different challenges here. There's this idea that care has to be shown by being in the room and having the conversation. So there's this attachment to strategy, and there's this other idea of that I think I heard that was about the effort. Like we're putting in work. Why are they not putting in work?
Yeah.
And that you would need. I don't know about you. I would need a conversation. To shift that frame. That's a complex frame to really open people up to all of the different ways that people make an effort. I'm sure this person does many, many things for the well-being of the dojo, and they just don't want to do this one thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so hard. I would love to do what I could to open them up to different frames. My sense is the cost to them of opening up to the chief instructor is like it all, I think it almost codes to them as dropping themselves. Does that make sense?
That is where you can do the frame shift with a question like, what could all of us do without the chief instructor that would sufficiently care for all of your needs? What can you do, even as an individual, so that you feel good about doing your work here and how things are going without anyone else changing? Those are invitations you can give to them.
Yeah.
And if the answer is nothing, it is not possible for me to be happy here, what would support you in leaving?
Yeah. Yeah.
And how can we think through leaving in a way that works for everyone, right? And we don't want people just storming out. They don't know what responsibilities they have. So, can we support you in leaving in a way that works for everyone?
Yeah. And my sense, Roni, is that the convergent facilitation was the thing that we could all do that would care for the needs without chief instructor there. And it almost feels like they're kind of coming back and saying, Like, we cannot tolerate the pain that lives in us from him not being present. Because I think we did the thing that, like, this was their, this, they wanted testing to change. That was the thing that we focused on. These three people wanted that. Nobody else wanted testing to change. They're fine with that. These three wanted that. They got this proposal.
It's clearly not the only thing they want.
Yeah. Yeah. That is true.
And I think that is also a question to bring to them. Like, are they willing to separate these things out so that this proposal can get implemented and at least the stuff gets worked out and then the other things can be addressed separately?
Yeah.
But the answer might be no. It might, I can see, like, it doesn't surprise me. There's something about moving forward to implement things that registers in some people's body as endorsing everything else that is going on.
Yeah,
totally. Oh, well, if we go ahead and implement this, it implies that I'm okay with everything else that is happening.
Yeah, that's, someone said something just like that. Yep. Yeah.
So that's,
this is enabling the dysfunction for us to even be in this room brainstorming without the chief instructor is enabling the dysfunction.
Then that is the decision that they need to make next, and perhaps instead of, like, this one gets put on hold, you have a proposal for whenever you're ready, and before we move forward with that proposal, you need to make a decision. What will we do about everybody's ways of engagement not working well together? You notice I switched that into a multi-partial framing.
Yeah. 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 Well, let me, how's your timing? Do you need to be moving on?
I think I'd like to wrap up in maybe the next 10 minutes or so. Would that work for you?
Yeah, that sounds great.
This topic is so juicy. I just want to sit here and play with
it. So glad. So glad that this is what you want to do with your time.
I love this stuff. I do this every day. It's although I do want to say, this is something I've learned, became very clear to me recently from my coaching calls. It is a lot more effective for me to offer coaching when I can see the work. So that's something to be mindful of for the future. If you would like more coaching with me, if you can send me a little video clip or transcript or the criteria list or the proposal, something for me to look at. Because what happens a lot in coaching is, you know, we struggle with some things because we see them a certain way. So when you describe it to someone else, you're describing it through the lens that is actually creating the problem. So I could be solving the problem and I could be reinforcing the problem because I'm seeing it through your eyes.
Yeah.
So something to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes so much sense. And also before we get off, I want to know how I can contribute to you financially. I asked.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. You've helped me so much. And it just knowing that you're here and, like, it's just given me so much peace. Like, okay, I'm going to talk to Ronnie on Thursday. It's going to be okay. Yeah. It's been really helpful. Yeah. So I asked Fabian about that. Is there, like, a, you know, is convergent facilitation donation button? And he said, I don't really know. I'm happy to, you know,
I'm happy to speak to that. So there are two different things. There's me as a person, and there's the Convergent Facilitation Community. When I was a part of starting the Convergent Facilitation Community, when we started out, all of the work was set up to be done in GIFT. I work in GIFT. The donations would come into the Convergent Facilitation Community, like, bucket. And then we distribute that to coaches. And when I stepped out of leadership of the community and it transitioned to Fabian and Marcella and other people, That process has changed. I do not know what has happened with it. Maybe they don't know what has happened with it. I'm no longer being invited to request money in the way that it used to be done. So I'm not sure. There is money that goes, I know there's money that goes into that pool because I give money into it from work that I do. None of it comes to me in this moment, and perhaps it will again in the future. So one option is to put money into that pool, and it will go to something related to supporting conversion facilitation, which is lovely. And if you want to specifically support me, you're welcome to gift money to me, and you're also welcome to do that unrelated to anything specific I'm doing. All my work is in gift, so this I gift all of this, and people gift me money if they want to, when they can afford it. It makes me really happy to say that. It's something I've been working on transitioning into for a long time. There's very little of my work that's still done in exchange, still a little bit.
Okay, great. And that I think I have your PayPal account. Would that be the way to do it through PayPal?
If you can do that without fees, that's great. If not, I prefer methods that don't have fees because I like not having fees. All the information is on my website, which if you just follow the link to me from the CF website, there's all the information about how to make transfers in different ways. Whichever way is free for you and free for me is fantastic. Those are
Perfect.
my favorite.
Okay, great. I will look at that after this
And if
call.
it's too much and you just want to keep it simple and send it with PayPal, just do whatever works for you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, now I'm curious, so maybe I'll ask Marcella what is happening with the GitHub distributions for the CF community. Is there more you need in relation to this topic right now? I feel like we went through a whole bunch of things, and I'm not sure any of them have fully settled.
Well, I have a lot of notes, and I think I'd like to go over with you what my plan is and get your input.
I want to think for a moment. Yeah, I think there's a thing that comes to me just to say that I'm offering you what comes to me in relation to what I'm hearing from you, and I don't have the context. So I really want to invite you to rely on your intuition. Of course, what I say influences that. I really rely on your intuition because I don't have the context. So you were there, you know the people, you know the history of what's going on, you know what all of them need, what their challenges are, and as much of them as much of it as you've seen. So you would have more of a sense of what makes sense to do next or to offer or to bring.
I think what I want to offer is I want to offer some acknowledgement for the pain that lives in these members, and also to reframe that chief instructor's input is just the same as theirs. It's not a veto, it's not approve or disapprove, that he will do what we all did from outside of the room and see if this proposal works for him and what pieces may or may not and might need to change. So he's going to tinker with this just as we all crafted it and tinkered with it together. And I'm going to ask, and I would like to also make explicit that a couple things. One is that he may never change, and that I would love to invite them to look at what power they have given that he might never change. And to encourage them to see this process in steps. Like if the goal is for him to change, they're going to be really discouraged and maybe just want to like throw up their hands. But if they can see there's steps and these working through these steps builds some relief and some settling. And to see this as a step.
There are two things I heard I want to suggest adjusting. One of them is the sequence. So I would leave this specific proposal for last. I would start with the acknowledgement you had, and then this piece around imagine for a moment this person doesn't change. What is possible? And that was the second thing I wanted to point out. This piece about what power do you have? I don't know how that language sits with them. I would be concerned about what people would make of that because people understand power in a lot of different ways. I would invite them to see what is possible. So, totally here, it's frustrating. You would like him to be here. You want full participation from everyone. You really want to have a sense of what's important to you is being cared for. You want everyone to contribute. Whatever needs you want to rattle off, totally get that. And given that this is where he is at the moment, I want to invite you to think a little bit about what is possible, what might work for you if he stays the way that he is. And you notice I switched everything to positive language. So not if he never changes or if he can't change, that pulls people to complaining. If he stays the way that he is for a while, what is possible? Is there something that would make the job enjoyable, fun, rewarding, nourishing, supportive, caring, whatever you want it to do to be? What is possible?
And do you think this would be a good place for me to give suggestions or just sort of let them be with that question?
That is a style thing. It's like how you show up. I tend to offer people suggestions. I sometimes over-suggest. It's so easy for me to come up with ideas. I'm always like, what about this? What about that? And because it's one of my strengths, I do it more because I'm often coming up with things that people were like, oh my God, I never thought of that. Let's do that. So it's useful. And if that's not one of your strengths, then I would leave more spaciousness. Also, if you do facilitation that's more about inviting people into presence and sensing, that's usually not my style. I'm usually inviting people to zoom along and see what we can do. We all have our way. I'm much more likely to ask them to shake it out and dance a little bit and see what comes to them. Yeah.
Yes, and then where would you add the part about what we've already done, this proposal that exists that was a big yes to everybody 5 days ago?
Yeah, so once you've given them that invitation, the acknowledgement of what's going on for them, the invitation, I also wonder if there's something you want to say about transparency about what's going on for you, your disappointment. There's always an interesting thing to navigate there about does the transparency serve, and in what way to share it. If I were in your shoes, I would probably want to say something. Even if it's just to say, hey, I was very excited when we left. Everybody seemed happy, and then it turns out we're not, and that's learning for me. Is there something that you would have liked me to do differently? Even if I just leave it at that, I would at least want to acknowledge that, hey, we thought we were okay, and then we weren't. And then I might, depending again if it serves, want to say more about, hey, that was difficult for me. I was really hoping to whatever. But usually when people are upset, it's that they don't have space to hear that. So figure out if it makes sense and how much of it. And so then the acknowledgement, the invitation to think about, maybe not even with you, like you're asking, do I make suggestions? You might make a couple just as examples, like maybe like this or like that, and then I invite you to think of that on your own. And then what do we want to do with this specific proposal? And I don't know how much time you have with them, but given that your time with them is over, I would want to close loops.
Yes.
So here's some suggestions of what to do. That loop is closed. Hey, can I learn anything from what happened? Were you concerned all along and you just didn't feel comfortable speaking up, or did you change your mind, or what happened here? What might we do differently in the future? And then this piece around this proposal to close that loop, do you want to put it on hold until you sort out the other piece? Do you want to go ahead and implement it while you sort out the other thing, something else? So basically just make yourself a list of all the open loops and then come up with an idea of how you can close each of them in 5 minutes or less. I don't know how much time you have in the meeting. And then you just work your way through them. And this is where, if you only have 30 minutes or an hour with them, and then you don't want to put more time into it, money, other reasons, I don't know. This is where you need your facilitation skills of redirecting, because these are emotional topics. So it's going to take some energy to close them out. And I would do the framing up front as well. I know these topics are emotional. We have five things that is really important that we close out. This is my last conversation with you. So I'm going to give us time checks every 5, 10 minutes, whatever makes sense. And then I really want you to make an effort to move with me. Again, make an effort. They don't want to. They don't want to. We don't do it. I'm just making the consequences visible. If we don't move through the topics, some of these will remain with you to sort out after I leave.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Enough to think about.
Definitely. Yeah. A lot to think about. And yeah, I'm feeling some relief. And some of that comes from having a way to close loops, and also a way to say, I've done what I can do, you know, in the time that the time and the money that you've given me and the capacity that I have and that we all have. And, yeah, like what do you all want to do now?
Yeah. And I wonder if you remember from the previous coaching call we had, when I was asking like about checking that everybody is okay with the person not being in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very curious, not right now, I want to move to closing, but I'm very curious what happened with that. I assume you checked with them.
It was so, more that I informed them.
You informed
them. I'm trying to think back, like, did I ask them? I think that's one thing I regret, that I didn't say, hey, give yourself a couple days to think about if this will work for you.
Yeah, so that piece is, that's what I was highlighting, is that it's important to check that it actually works for everyone, for the person not being in the room, because then you would have the same conversation, but before the effort went in, so probably with less intensity. This person doesn't want to be in the room, so it worked for you. No, it doesn't work for us. Okay, what do we do then?
Yeah, I can imagine that could have been a turning point, that had they shown up with some choice, like some real intentional choice, like I think there was choice, everybody showed up, but sort of like, okay, I'm sitting with this, I'm looking at all the pieces, and I'm still choosing to be here, rather than, oh, I just have to roll with what's happening.
And there's one more thing I want to offer you, is that it could be that that is what this process accomplished for them. They were like, oh, yeah, he's not going to be sure. I guess I can live with that because I don't have any other options. And then now that I've gone through it, I'm like, actually, no, I can't live with that anymore. And so it may seem like it like wasn't what they wanted, or it didn't work well. It might be exactly what they needed to get the clarity that actually this doesn't work for them.
Yeah.
Or not anymore.
Yeah. Yes. I think that's right. I think that is what some of them are sitting with. Yeah.
That's useful.
Yeah, that is useful. Yes.
Feels like I've gone full circle to the first piece I shared. We never know what's useful.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Ready to close?
Yes.
Thank you so much for reaching out. I love it when people just don't assume that I'm busy or that what they're bringing up is not important enough or whatever stories come up for people. And they're like, hey, let's have a quick talk. That's amazing. So I'm very grateful for that.
Oh, I'm so glad that you appreciate that. I'm so grateful that you're available and willing and such a fount of knowledge. And I just love the way that you kind of like zone in on something and expand it. Help me see lots of different angles.
Hmm. Oh, thank you. So curious to hear what happens. Maybe you can give me an update.
Yeah, I would like to. What would be the best way to do that?
WhatsApp is the best way, but Google Voice works as well. So.
Okay. Okay, cool. All right. Thanks so much, Ronnie. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye.